All right, we are now speaking with the mayor of Athens, Stefan Bratisic.
Correct.
And trustee Dr. Josh Lipsman.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Excellent, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
And you guys are both here to tell us about, you guys are having a big public hearing in Athens on September 25th, next Wednesday, about two proposed laws. You want to tell us about them?
Sure. Like you said, there's two laws that we're doing. The first is what's called a community choice aggregation, which is a New York State program that tries to lower energy bills. And the way it does it is by aggregating a community. In other words, taking right now as an individual resident, you have limited buying power to purchase energy. So there are brokers that New York State recommends that use the aggregate of an entire community to improve the buying power and therefore lower overall energy bills for the community. And in the process, increase the amount of green energy potentially that we use as well. The second, which is really tied to a broader strategy that we have around economic development, is that I want to protect the commercial spaces that we have available to us on Second Street, which is our primary commercial district. And I want to do that as more of them start to become open by limiting what you can do with those first floor. So these are, they're zoned commercial residential, which means you've got generally commercial on the first floor with residential properties above them. And the law states that if you purchase one of those properties, which is available for commercial configured for commercial property today, that it remains available for commercial in the future.
So this would basically, if someone bought the cultural center building, they couldn't live in the first floor.
That's right. They could not convert that first floor over to a residential property.
It has to be retail or can it, nonprofit or is there any like...
No specific stipulation on that.
So it just has to be something that's open to the public?
Non-residential.
Non-residential. So that's anything. It's not living there.
We're not trying to be overly restrictive. I just want to make sure once they get converted to residential, they tend to not come back. And I want to make sure that we maintain that space available to us on what is really our main street in the Village of Athens.
Yeah, I can think of a couple places in Hudson, maybe a couple places in Catskill on Main Street where there's not there are residential on the first floor. Mm-hmm. Have you started to have that in Athens yet?
Or? We have had a few, yeah. And we've got very limited space, right? There's only about 25. When we talk about the space that we're looking to cover on Second Street, it's about four blocks. And there's really only about 25 commercial properties available. And many of them right now are either unutilized or underutilized. And we want to, you know, as part of the strategy that we're going to start putting in place, we want to make sure that we've got those properties available so that we can develop them.
So that's from like Crossroads to 385?
It starts down at Water Street. So essentially at the park at Water Street. And right now the law is written to go all the way up to Church Street, which is about a four block area.
And is this a good problem that you're having? Are you having more people move into Athens or more businesses or?
We're going to work to bring more opportunity in, right? So we're building a larger strategy around some other things that we're doing as a board. So this is just sort of, one move to try to improve the economic revitalization of the village there.
Yeah. I'm just asking if things are going well in Athens with new businesses these days.
We are seeing more, and there's been a lot of interest that's being shown to us. Right now, really, one of our problems is there's not much available. But several buildings are becoming available here in the near future. I want to make sure that we can keep them. And there are people interested in opening businesses as well.
And if this passes, when will it take effect?
It would essentially be immediately once we pass it, yeah.
And are you going to vote on it on the 25th, or is it the vote will be at the next meeting?
The vote will be later. So what we'll do is we'll open it, we'll do the vote a month later. So once we've had the public hearing, we'll open it for a two-week public comment period to get any additional comments from the public, and then we'll vote on it a month after the public hearing.
And Josh, you like this idea too?
It's a great idea. We've got a vision of Athens that is in keeping with its history of a vibrant community with a vital downtown, which is a big word to use for a four-block stretch. But the history of our village is that it used to be the gateway on this side of the river to everything else here that was west of the Hudson. You didn't have the Rip Van Winkle Bridge.
Before the bridge, yeah.
Yeah, the Rip Van Winkle Bridge was in the late 30s, I think. And before that, the way to get over here was the ferry from Hudson.
Which is back on Saturdays.
Yes, Saturday, but in a much reduced scale and more for pleasure seekers than anything else. But that our whole Second Street used to be full of shops where the people who were coming over would buy their provisions before they headed home or wherever else they were going. And I think urban viewpoints tend to support the idea of a community being vibrant if it has just a small commercial center. So I think we're trying to avoid becoming completely a bedroom community and totally residential by continuing to have shops, restaurants, markets, places for people to come and congregate and help the local economy.
And you've got some great restaurants there. The bread store around the corner, just off the
Bonfilio.
Yeah, off yep. the. So you got some retail kind of off the, just off the.
Oh, that's right. Bonfilio is right on Second Street. It's in this district that we're talking about. It's right across the street.
That would count.
From,
yeah.
Yeah, right across the street from Crossroads, which does a great business and has some fantastic beers and brings a lot of foot traffic to the community.
Yeah.
We've got right down the street from there. There's another new restaurant that just opened up called Tin Pan Alley. Down the street a little bit further is the Stewart House Boutique Hotel and Restaurant. And then every Friday night, we get 1,000 to 2,000 people on a Friday night for the Athens Performing Arts Committee. They put on really excellent bands every Friday night, which brings a lot of people in. And so there's plenty of foot traffic. We just need now to open those businesses up so that we can have that walking community.
And has there been much opposition to this idea, or do people know about it yet even?
I don't know. We did put out a press release last week, so we're trying to make sure that people do know about it. I want to make sure when we have these public hearings that they're well attended and that we do get a lot of public view on it. So we've had some good luck with some of our public hearings in the past. We've one of the other committee members, trustees that we've got, Amy Sirago, has done a lot as far as, you know, she's running what we call the communications committee, doing a lot more outreach on social media, improving our website quite a bit to make sure we're getting this stuff out via the website. But, you know, there's a lot of people in the community who aren't as social networking savvy. So more of this type of stuff that we can do to get the word out, the better.
We're a big believer that an effective local government is a transparent local government, that it is a participatory and engaged, community-engaged government. So that's why we're pleased to be here to chat on the radio, why we've got a new kind of communications function that Stefan mentioned our co-trustee Amy is working on. Why we're issuing press releases. We're really trying to get the word out to get the community engaged and involved with what we're doing, but also as part of this vision of improving the vitality of our downtown, increasing the economic strength of what we're able to do in our village. So that's the kind of the vision of what we're doing here.
And so tell us more about the second proposal is probably more involved, I guess, the electricity.
The community choice aggregation. Yeah, that's really a win-win because people's electric bills go down and we also use more sustainable energy sources rather than the fossil fuel sources that most energy companies are traditionally using. And this is a New York State program. It's a program that is encouraged and organized by New York State. And essentially what this law does, it gives the village permission to engage in this process. We haven't picked the supplier yet. We haven't even picked the broker. There's kind of an intermediary broker that they call an administrator that will go out on our behalf and shop among all the different energy suppliers around the country and then come back with a proposal for energy. So it's win-win, but you know, you asked earlier if there's opposition to the other law that Stefan mentioned. And what's interesting is that experience has shown in Coxsackie and in New Baltimore and Caro, when they put this up before it passed, which it ultimately did, the biggest concern that people had was they didn't like the idea that government was making the decision for them who their electricity supplier should be.
And that's probably true of any. They don't want the government making decisions for them, no matter what the subject is.
That's correct. That's correct. So that's the most common opposition. But so your next question might be, so how do you answer that? Well, the answer is, sir, madam, we're just asking you to do us a favor to allow us to pick this energy company for you. It can be temporary. You can, even before it's gone into effect, you can opt out. You can say, you keep your energy company. I'll take the energy company that I want. And we're going to make it easy for people to opt out. You can opt out with a phone call. You can send in a letter. You can go online. You can stop by the village office and opt out. Now, fast forward in Coxsackie, New Baltimore, and Caro, what they found is that the neighbors who opt out, they a few months into it, they talk to their neighbors and they say, well, what are you paying for electricity? And it's like, well, now I'm only paying like 5 cents instead of 6.5 cents. So oftentimes people then choose to opt back in. So go ahead, Stefan.
It's important to note there are some folks who have already been proactive, right, and may have already selected an energy supply company individually, or
because people can do this on their own without the town. If you're living in Durham, if Durham hasn't done this, you could do it yourself.
You can do it yourself. Other people may have negotiated a special rate with Central Hudson today, with their current supplier. In the event where you have already opted into a new program or you have negotiated a special rate with the current supplier, then you will not be part of this aggregation program unless you ask to be put into it.
And what is the results been in New Baltimore and Caro, and what was the other?
Coxsackie.
Coxsackie. So
generally about $150 a year per person in annual savings.
So
is what they say. It's not a guarantee, but
most voters won't argue with an extra $150 in their pockets.
It's right? A matter of understanding why we're making this choice for them, and yeah, we want to make sure we over communicate so we don't surprise people with
it. And even the savings are a win-win. Because, first of all, it goes back into your pocket and my pocket, the money that we're not spending on electricity. But it's, you know, $50 to $100 to $150 a year is not a ton of money. So it's not as if people are going to go out with that money and buy a new car or something like that. But what research suggests is those people then spend that money maybe at a dinner at a restaurant in Athens or... in general, they tend to put that money back locally. It's pocket money. And even though it's not insignificant, still people tend to spend that money locally. So the win is people get money back. And also when they spend it, it helps the local economy, supports the community.
Because they're not getting a $5,000 refund that they're immediately putting in the bank, right?
That's correct. It's just, there's no refund at all, in fact.
You're just paying less bills.
Your electricity bill is going to be lower each month.
So it is just pocket money, like literally.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the other benefit, not to make light of $150, but everybody in Athens is then using renewable energy, right?
Well, that's not quite right, because we're not obliged to purchase electricity that is only from renewable or sustainable sources. We could technically go out and purchase energy that's 100% fossil fuel based. But in general, that one of the main reasons that the state is supporting this program and creating a structure to allow for it is that we could go 30%, 40%, 50% sustainable. So that's another one of the wins. I've lost track of how many win is going on here, but it does reduce the use of non-sustainable energy sources. And I think while we haven't publicly stated this, We're almost certainly going to try our best to get not only the best price, but the largest amount of sustainable energy sources we can.
I guess this, just talking to you, it seems like the only reason someone might, besides the reason you named before about wanting their own choice in electricity, is that there's something of a controversial local solar project, and this might seem like it's tied into that.
Yes. In fact, I've seen that on Facebook already. I saw someone who was, there was a conversation going on between two other parties on Facebook, and someone said, is this another hearing on that solar farm? And
it's the Flint Solar Farm in Coxsackie.
Flint Mine Solar.
And the answer is, and thanks for asking, Tom, because we definitely want to clarify any misconceptions about that. This community choice aggregation proposed law has nothing to do with Flint Mine Solar. It's not pro, it's not con, doesn't support, it doesn't oppose. It is completely unrelated. The only, it's just this very vague connection in that we've got an effort in society now to try to reduce the use of energy that isn't needed to be expended, and to replace fossil fuel energy sources with sustainable. So those, these are both part of that same much larger effort. But again, our community choice aggregation law has nothing to do with the proposed Flint Mine Solar.
So this is, I think the town of Greenville has a one of these solar farms. They're going in and they're going to use the power, the electricity locally, the lower Greenville bills. But so this is a different program than that.
Yeah. The, you know, the more, obviously, the more New York State brings down the cost of renewable energies, the better, because that ultimately affects the cost of it in this aggregate program. So the lower the cost comes with more of these facilities that are out there, then the more green energy we can buy in this aggregate program. But like Josh said, the community choice aggregation in and of itself doesn't necessarily mandate more green energy over fossil fuel energy as part of the program.
And if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Athens Mayor Stefan Bratisic, and a trustee, Dr. Josh Lipsman, about two proposals that are going up for a public hearing on Wednesday, September 25th.
At 6:30 p.m.
At
the Athens Community Center, which is not the cultural center.
And not the town hall, but it's next door.
Well, it is the town hall.
It is the town hall.
But, I mean, that it's known as the town hall, but I believe the name
official name is the community center, yeah.
Number 2 First Street in Athens.
What else is going on in Athens while we have you guys here?
So I talked about the law that we're looking to move on Second Street being part of a larger strategy. And so there's a couple of other things that we've been doing really focused on economic renewal or economic revitalization of the village. One of the larger ones that we're pursuing is what's called a Brownfield Opportunity Area, or BOA. And what that states, it really takes a large area. Most of our waterfront is part of it, as well as Second Street. And what it says is there are a number of industrial use buildings along our waterfront that were used in the past for industrial uses and therefore have either a real or a perceived brownfield impact, right? And as such, there's a New York State program that allows you to apply for grants both to do planning and then ultimately to do some revitalization in the future. It's a phased grant program, and we just entered it this year. And the first piece of that, and what I really like about this program, is once you get approved for the planning portion that we've applied for now, that planning portion is mandated to include a significant amount of community engagement and community involvement on steering committees and on committees to review what those options are and what that vision looks like. So the vision that we come up with isn't my vision or the board's vision. It really becomes a larger community vision on how do we revitalize Athens and how do we, you know, what do we do? What actions do we take with some of the areas along the waterfront to make them more palatable either for public use or private use and reinvestment. So take some of what really are liabilities today and be able to really turn them into some real assets that we've got along our waterfront.
Because typically old industrial buildings can be really great for communities to if you can clean them up, because they often have big giant open spaces and lots of light sometimes. Yep. Sometimes they're really dark, but they're usually large spaces that you can do something that really impacts the town, I guess, right?
That's exactly right. Yep. We've got several of them. We've got a lot of waterfront in Athens. A lot of developable waterfront in Athens, and we've got several.
So, is former boating facilities, or what? What?
So, one of the large ones is called Elko. It back during World War II, they made lifeboats there. They then it was a Northrop Grumman plant, I believe, making truck chassis and engines. So, it's had a number of uses. And when you take these types of buildings that were known to be industrial use buildings, there's always a hazard for new investment coming in that there may be something under the soil that we're not aware of and that may cause a liability for a future investor. And we want to get that identified and, if needed, get it fixed so that we can bring in these investors and do something with these really critical waterfront areas. I mean, that Elko building is right next to our park, right in the center of the village, right on the water.
And if that could be a little mall of several shops, it could be really great for the town.
Exactly. Yeah, or a performing arts center, or a restaurant,
artist studios,
anything. Stefan said a moment ago something that we can't repeat often enough, which is that we have dreams about what could happen in Athens, but whatever happens is not going to be the decision of the mayor or the board of trustees. We are committed to community engagement. You know, every so often communities reinvent themselves. They add something or become something new, and it changes the excitement and the vitality of the community. That's just the nature of history. We would like to offer that opportunity to Athens as well, respecting our history, respecting the people who have lived there for many generations, respecting what Athens is already, but also what else can we do? Where else can we go? What else can we be? So we've applied once already and have been turned down for a community engagement planning grant. We have another one that we've applied for, we hope to hear about in October, to fund a process by which we bring in community members and formally update a comprehensive plan that was last revised in 2007. That's a fairly common thing that communities around here do, is they develop comprehensive plans. Ours is 12 years old at this point. We want to update that. So we've applied for a grant, which we hope to hear about next month. Again, even these public hearings that we're having on these two laws, technically, we don't have to do public hearings. We can pass laws. We're the village board. But we are committed to engaging our community and moving forward as a community. That's where our success is going to come from.
And, a lot of election time, a lot of candidates talk about how they want to help business in whatever their town is. And there's really not a lot that elected officials can do besides this kind of parameters. You can set up, but this seems like something that you can really have an impact if you can get those buildings that have been empty and left, if you can get them somehow that people want to rent them or use them or are able to use them.
That's right. I think, you know, to your point, everyone talks about wanting to do this type of thing. And I think from our standpoint right now, we're a fairly new board. A lot of us are new to being on the board. And so I think we've got the right board right now at the right time, because there's a lot of investment coming in. There's a lot of interest coming in. And there's a lot of change going on in the community that I think we can capitalize on and you know, take advantage of some of the state money that's out there to help us, because we have a limited budget in the village. But there is money out there to help us that we're looking to bring in. And I think it's the right time now. I think we can really have an impact in the near term.
Also, Tom, just very politely, several times you've referred to our town, but we're actually the village.
Village, oh, I'm sorry. Yes,
we're the village.
I'm using lowercase town, not
okay, because we're pals. We're pals with the town, right, but as a political jurisdiction, it's the village.
Yes. So you guys did your election in March was sort of turned over the board then, the village elections, because I was starting to think of that. Oh, the village, I know they had elections in March.
That's
but,
right. And that's, the that's town right. elections occur in November.
Right, yes. So you guys are a new board then. Mm-hmm. And
actually, to answer your other question in terms of like, what can we do for business besides this proposed law? As soon as we get funding for comprehensive planning, if we come up with our community for a vision, with a vision that to enhance the existing comprehensive plan, and just to remind everyone what's in the comprehensive plan that was the result of good work done by people 12 years ago, then that allows us to go out for other funding. As Stefan mentioned, there are plenty of government and other entities that are willing to fund communities, but you have to kind of show what your plan is and how it fits into a larger vision. So if we decided that an abandoned or a underutilized industrial building should become a performing arts center or a commercial center or mixed residential commercial or something like that, then developers become interested. There are government programs that can provide subsidies and grants to people who are renovating historic spaces in order to keep them historic. So we're just very excited about all of that. And this public hearing we're having on the 25th is just one step, one part of that.
Any other initiatives coming down the pike, or you want to preview to voters or to citizens, I guess?
I think the only other one Josh briefly mentioned, which is a Hudson River Valley grant that we're applying for, which also is another one of, it's a planning grant as well. Looking, you know, we're looking right now, we're looking for these types of grants to help us to develop the plan and develop the vision and engage the community to help us determine what path we want to go down and how we want to bring the village forward. So we're pursuing that. And the only other is we need a new DPW building, which isn't as exciting as maybe some of the other economic development plans. But that's another item that as a board we really have to address in the near term. So that's something else we're going out.
So that's a cost coming up that you're going to have to deal with.
Yep.
You know what? The other thing just maybe to mention briefly in passing is that like so many other villages and towns in New York and around the country, our infrastructure under the ground is ancient. It's 100 or more years old, and parts of it are beginning to break. So we're, I think, doing a very good job for what limited funds we have in terms of testing and identifying problem areas. But we're also hoping as in the next several months or 6 months to 12 months to get another grant to get a much better sense of what's going on underground in order to be able to look at the possibility of getting funding for infrastructure improvement. You don't see it. It's under the ground, but it's critical, the source of water and removal of waste to the vitality of the community as well.
Well, the people of Coxsackie know about their infrastructure, right? It seems like they're flooding exactly every other week in, at some points of the year.
That's correct.
Catskill has had water main breaks that have been very disruptive. We fortunately haven't had something like that yet in Athens, and prevention is key. And so we're hoping to study and improve.
But this is a nationwide problem. All the pipes are old and getting older.
Yes, certainly. Certainly in rural communities, it's been a big problem. So, and another thing, Josh recently did a great deal of work to get the village certified as a clean energy community as well, which brings with it a grant on, along with what we're talking about. There's a number of potential uses, and we haven't arrived on how we intend to use the grant as a result of being designated a clean energy community. But when you talk about the aging pipes and some of the aging infrastructure, where you have aging systems that allow water intrusion into the water treatment facility, you wind up taking up a lot of your capacity to treat the water by treating clean water that just came in through the rain. So the more work, that's one potential option that we're looking at, is can we help to improve that so that we free up capacity in our water treatment plant as a result of that grant.
I was wondering if you have an affordable housing issue in Athens, like Catskill, the rents have gone up dramatically recently, I guess because of success of the town, they're renting out more spaces, but they also have short-term rentals that are exacerbating the problem. And certainly Hudson has definitely an affordable housing problem. People are, they're, the town, what is it called? When you assess the assessments all went up like 300% last year. So if you're living in Hudson, you're paying a lot more property taxes.
I hear, the Airbnb conversation happening and kind of demonizing Airbnb a little bit for the kinds of things that you're talking about. But from an Athens standpoint, I view Airbnb not necessarily as a bad thing. So with the question you just asked, we do have limited housing available now, but I'm optimistic. There's 90 acres that are available that I think we'll see developed soon. Into single family and multifamily homes that are really what we need in the community to bring more, particularly young families in. I'd like to see young families come in and kind of revitalize our schools, et cetera. But from an Airbnb standpoint, the other side of the coin is one of our main attractions, if you will, are some of these older homes and the Victorian homes that we have that are not, they're not going to be affordable housing, right? They're big aging homes that require a lot of work. And what we are seeing is a lot of folks coming up from the city buying these investment homes that they will live in for some part of the year, but they'll use as Airbnb as well. And that's a good thing for our community. You know, anytime we're able to save one of these homes and the money comes in to save and revitalize one of these homes, that's a positive for the community. So, you know, there's two sides to that coin, particularly in some of these older villages.
Yeah, it takes a lot of money to buy a house in Athens and an older house that hasn't been fixed up already.
That's right.
But at the same time, Tom, we're wanting to not deplete the stock of affordable housing. We're not wanting to tell people who've lived in Athens for generations and so have come to be owners or leasers of property that, but who may not have the means to upgrade to completely modern or to buy one of these historic houses. We're not wanting to say to those people, we don't want you here. We're trying to find a way to not only attract the people from the city who will help preserve our heritage, but also to continue to have affordable housing options for local families, people who've lived here for a long time, people who move here to are going to teach in the schools or work in the hospital or work at the prison. And one of the nice things about these planning processes that we're hoping to get funded to go through will be that it will give us an opportunity to more systematically look at housing, commerce, education, all of the components. That's why they call it a comprehensive plan of what goes on in a community such as ours.
All right. Anything else you guys want to update our listeners on and what's going on in Athens?
I think we're good.
I think we covered it all, Tom. Thank you.
So tell us again, when is the public hearing on the two proposals?
September 25th, Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. at the Athens Community Center.
All right, so you can come out and give your input then, and then there'll be a vote probably in the October meeting?
Correct.
All right, well, thank you, Athens Mayor Stefan Bratisich and Village Trustee Dr. Josh Lipsman, for joining us today on the radio and telling us about the public hearing.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.